Turn, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll be looking at three verses this morning. Loving darkness, hating light. Loving light, hating darkness. John, chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Our study last week and today are the verses which immediately follow the golden text of Scripture, John 3:16. The golden text of Scripture highlights what I've been calling the bright side of God's plan of salvation. Verses 17 through 21 underscores the dark side of God's plan of salvation. The bright side of God's plan of salvation is God, out of love, giving His one and only Son that we might have eternal life. And whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that verse states the bright side. The dark side of God's plan of salvation is that those who do not believe in the Son are under condemnation. And that condemnation is revealed in their unbelief, and it is also revealed in their love of darkness rather than the light, and their refusal to come into the light. So verses 17 through 21 state the dark side. We looked at part one of the dark side last week, verses 17 and 18. Mankind is under condemnation and can only be saved from present and future judgment by believing in the name of the one and only Son of God. We're going to look at part two today, verses 19 through 21. Mankind is rebellious and evil, preferring darkness to light because their deeds are evil. Now let's remember that the gospel message contains both the bright side of God's grace and love and the dark side of His wrath and judgment. And it is to our peril if we neglect either side of that truth. It's our duty to tell sinners not only about the love of God in Christ, but to also warn them about present condemnation and coming judgment that God's wrath rests upon all who are outside of Jesus Christ. Everyone who rejects the free offer of Christ in the gospel faces eternal torment. There are a lot of Christians that don't want to talk about that side. There are some who that's all they talk about. But it's also true that there are some, in fact, most, who only talk about the other side. And we must preach both. Note that the verses we're studying today begin with a word about light coming into the world. And this is the judgment we read in verse 19. This is the condemnation. Condemnation, judgment are synonyms, and sometimes you'll find one word and you'll find the other. So this is the condemnation that the light, and there is a definite article before the word light, that the light has come into the world. Now in verses 17 and 18, John had written about judgment and condemnation. The root of God's just verdict, we see now, stems from the fact that light has come into the world and that sinners refuse to come to the light. Now, who is the light? What is the light? The light is Jesus Christ. We will see later on, John 8, verse 12, one of the great I Am statements, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But we also saw, as we studied the prologue, the first 18 verses of this gospel, that the Apostle John dealt with the subject of light. In the incarnation, that is, when the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh, light entered this dark world. In fact, turn back, if you would, to chapter 1, and you will note, if you count in verses 4 through 9, the word light is used 7 times. The Word made flesh gives light because He is light. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. Note verse 4, in Him, that is the eternal Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Darkness cannot conquer it. He then talks about John the Baptist, man sent from God. He came to bear witness about the light, but he's not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people did not receive Him, but all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So Jesus Christ is the true light, which gives light to people in the world. Isaac Watts wrote these words, God sent His Son with power to save from guilt and darkness and the grave. The fall of Adam plunged the human race into spiritual darkness. And so sinners are without excuse. That's what John is saying here. This is the judgment. This is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world. This light came to deliver us from the domain of darkness. That's how Paul expressed it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Darkness, as you well know, is a metaphor of moral impurity and wickedness. And light is a metaphor of moral purity and holiness. And so when the light comes, the one on whom the light shines, the darkness is driven away. Now, John shows the judgment, this condemnation, is self-incurred. Though light has come into the world, what does he next say? People love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds, their works, were evil. Now, the emphasis in this section, these three verses, is on the negative, the dark side, but John just can't say anything about the dark side without also bringing in the bright side, and he does that at the end. So verses 19 and 20, he talks about loving darkness, hating light. But in verse 21, he reverses that and talks about loving light and hating darkness. So let's look at these verses in that way. We begin with loving darkness and hating light. Loving darkness and loathing light. That's how John the Apostle describes the people of this world. Again, this is the judgment. This is the condemnation that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than the light. And he tells us why. Because their deeds were evil. And then he says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. The description John is giving here is of all people. It's a description of you and me in our natural state. We're all born in sin. And our residence is in darkness. Now, we saw in verses 17 and 18 that Christ removes the condemnation, brings us into salvation. But now we have that experience of salvation set forth in other terms. In fact, a very graphic way. Christ removes the darkness and brings us into the light. And you find this kind of language throughout the New Testament. Think of this verse from Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writing in chapter 5, verse 8, he says to those saints, "At one time you were darkness." And I find it interesting that he didn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. It's your very character and your very nature. "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Simon Peter said a similar thing in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He told his audience, the saints that he was writing to, that they had been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So man in his natural state is averse to the light. He doesn't like the light. In fact, he hates it. And the reason he hates it is because his heart is evil. And the light exposes his evil heart by revealing his evil deeds. Men hate light because their nature is evil. And they hate light because of what light reveals. Note that John says people loved the darkness. He's using the past tense, but we might well say that in the present. People today love darkness. Why do they love darkness? They love what they know. They love what makes them feel comfortable. And we're comfortable in our environment. We love darkness because it's against our nature to love the light. Sin makes us that way, and we're sinners through and through. And we hate the light. Now, we usually turn more frequently to the letters of Paul for descriptions of man's depravity. Think of Romans chapter 1. Think of the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2. But John brings out quite well here the depth of man's depraved state. What an evil nature we have that we love darkness and hate light. That we love sin and evil and wickedness and hate goodness and truth and righteousness. Martin Lloyd-Jones summarizes our depravity in this way. Modern men and women are not only guilty, but they're also fallen. Each of us has a polluted nature. It is not simply that people do wrong, but that they love it. And they revel in doing wrong. Men and women are not good. They're not pure. They're fallen and polluted. They love darkness. They delight in it. It ravishes their hearts. They are twisted, perverted creatures. Now, he used that plural pronoun, they, but we might as well say, we. It's true of us, isn't it? We love darkness. We hate the light because the light exposes who we are. It reveals our wicked deeds. The same word used of God loving the world in verse 16 is used here of people loving darkness. God loves the world because God is love. That's His disposition. We have an inner disposition that loves darkness. So our problem with the gospel isn't knowledge. It isn't ignorance. Our problem is this internal affection for sin and for self. That's where our true devotion, that's where our true loyalty rests. And we don't want anything to disturb us from our comfortable position. If we love the light, we bask in it, revel in it, and abhor the darkness. But man in his natural state loves darkness and hates the light. And proof of this is found not only here in the premise, the statement, but in our practice, in our deeds, and our works. Why do people love darkness rather than light? It is because our deeds are evil. So how we choose to live proves the state of our hearts. If Christ lives in your heart, you'll put Him first. He's your Lord, and you'll seek to do what pleases Him. You'll love His Word. You will want to obey Him. But what rules the life of the one who rejects Jesus and refuses to believe in Him is that he just doesn't like the light. He detests it. He abhors it. He wants to do what pleases Him. And so people hate the light because it reveals their cherished desires and exposes their evil works and deeds. We would also add that the lost man is subject to Satan, though he may not be aware of that. But he has a love for the world, the things that satisfy his flesh. And he's a child of the devil. Outside of Christ, we are guilty and condemned. Outside of Christ, we are in darkness. And we love it so. We may want others to think we love light and hate darkness, but unless our hearts have been changed by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we love the darkness of sin. It is said that both Mark Twain and Arthur Conan Doyle sent letters to a dozen prominent men that said, "All has been exposed. Flee at once." And all the people those letters were sent to, they fled. They left town. That'd be a good joke to play on somebody, wouldn't it? What an awful way to have a little fun. All is exposed. Flee. What would you do if you got a letter like those men did? Would you look for a place to hide in the darkness so you wouldn't be exposed by the light? We all have sin lurking in our hearts, don't we? We all have skeletons in the closet. There's some things about my past that I hope you never know. I'm sure there are things about your life, I hope it's in the past and not in the present, that you don't want people to know about. And that's why by nature we loathe the light, because light exposes what's in our heart. Light exposes these evil deeds. There's coming a day when every secret and every wicked deed will be exposed. You may do a good job of hiding it right now, concealing it. That's what a hypocrite is. But there's coming a day when all will be exposed. Listen to what Jesus said, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." And of course, in that day, there will be no place to flee. But there is a place to flee now. If the light of the gospel shines in your heart and exposes you for the sinner you really are, then the purpose of that is that you might flee the darkness and come into the light, that you'll run to Jesus. And if you run to Him, He will save you and cleanse you. What have you done with the gospel light that is shining even now in the preaching of the Word. That light, that gospel, exposes sin for what it is. But the purpose is in order that we might be saved. So don't love your sin so much that it'll keep you in the darkness, keep you out of the light. Don't resist the light. Don't try to suppress the shining of the light. Don't scurry away when the light shines on your sinful heart. During our first year of Bible college in Florida, we lived in an apartment on campus. It was a dump, really. We battled mold in the shower on a constant basis. And the roaches, oh, the roaches. They grow them big down there in the panhandle of Florida. We actually, one night, were awakened by a sound we weren't sure what it was. Clicked the light on in the closet. I had a guitar at the time. I did learn three chords. And a roach was running up and down on one of the strings. We would go into the kitchen at night and flick on the light, and roaches on the floor, and they were on the wall. I used to say they were playing a baseball game. And when we turned the light on, they didn't turn around to look, see who it was, and say hello. They scurried away. That's what the darkness does. They didn't like the light because it exposed them. When Stephen preached the gospel, the Jewish leaders didn't like what they heard. He exposed their sins. And do you remember what they did? They didn't repent and believe the message. Here's what Acts 7:57 says. They cried out with a loud voice. That sounds like some of these protesters on campus, isn't it? Just drown them out! Drown them out! And then it says they stopped their ears. Can you see them do that? I don't want to hear that. That's a message I don't want to hear. And then, of course, they rushed on him and took him out of the city and stoned him. They didn't want to hear the truth, so they shut their ears and snuffed out his light. And that's how we as sinners by nature are. We love darkness. We hate light. We refuse to come to the light. We would rather remain in our sins because the light exposes our evil hearts and our wicked deeds. You see, John is explaining man's love for sin. He is speaking the truth, and we know it's true deep down in our hearts. We make excuses. We try to explain it away, but truth be told, we love the darkness and hate the light. Why is that? Because we're impure, we're fallen, and so we're needy. It's because we want our way, not the Lord's way. So we love sin and we revel in it. And that's why so many people today refuse to hear the dark side of the message of salvation. Give me that love and I can take that truth and say, well, God approves of anything I do because He loves me so. And no dark side. I recently had my eyes checked. The exam included having my eyes dilated. Most of you have probably had that done before. They put some kind of drops in your eyes, which forces the pupil to stay open. And that's fine when you're in a dark room. The doctor does that because he can get a better look into your eyes. We know when we normally walk out of a dark room into the light, the pupil of the eye gets smaller. But dilation doesn't allow that to happen for several hours. Well, I've had this done before, and they always give you those little plastic things that go under your glasses so when you walk out in the sun, you won't be blinded. They forgot to do that, And I forgot about it and walked out in the sun, had to close my eyes, turn around, and go back in to get those things. A sinner is like the person whose eyes are dilated and he just can't stand being in the light. He hates the light. He loves the darkness. And judgment rests upon him because he refuses the light that has come into the world. Sad words, these, aren't they? This is the judgment. That light has come. The light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. Well, John brings us to the other side of the contrast in verse 21. He's spoken about those who love darkness and hate light. Now he speaks about those who love light and hate darkness. We read in verse 21, but, so contrast the other side, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So verses 19 and 20 describe the man in sin. Verse 21 describes the man in grace. How a person responds to the light indicates whether they're born again or not. Remember, that's what the first part of this chapter is about, Nicodemus coming at night and Jesus saying you must be born again. Verse 21 doesn't tell us how a person leaves the darkness and comes into the light. Doesn't say here, because we've already been told that the person who rejects the darkness or the light, first of all, has been born again. And second, he has believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So the result of the new birth, which is wrought by the Spirit, and faith, which is placed in Jesus, which we exercise, is a life that loves the light and hates the darkness. It's a reversal. We once were in the darkness and loved it and hated the light. Now we're in the light and love it and hate the darkness. All who come into the light, note, verse 21 says, does what is true. New American Standard, I think, perhaps the New King James also has practices the truth. That means there's been a deep and powerful change in the heart. The believer has come to hate sin. He sees his guilt before a holy God. He now understands why God gave his only Son to save us. We understand now why the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross. And the person who comes to see that, wrought in his heart by the Spirit, no longer has anything to hide. It's exposed. It's all been brought out in the light. That's what happens when God saves us. We'll later see in the Gospel of John that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Convict, expose our sin. What we've done wrong, contrary to God's law. Righteousness. Holy Spirit shows us we have none. And judgment shows us that condemnation rests upon us. So the work of the Spirit in convicting brings the sinner to cry out for mercy. In the words of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, we realize that we are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That's what conviction, that's the result of the work of conviction in our hearts. And so our hearts are quickened by the Spirit. And then there's this cry of the newborn babe, I believe in Jesus who loved me and gave Himself for me. A new believer comes into the light and he practices the truth. He now loves what he once hated. He loves Christ. He loves the truth of God. That truth, John 17:17 says, which aids in our sanctification. And that he practices the truth is evident. It is clearly seen, note the verse, that his works have been carried out in God. That is, God is the source of the power and motivation of him doing good works. They are said to be deeds carried out in God, which means that they are wrought or they are accomplished by God. God is the one who takes the initiative to save us. We could never turn from darkness on our own because we neither have the ability nor the desire to do so. But God has granted to us illumination. He's brought the light in so we can see ourselves as we are before Him, so we can see the glory and beauty of Jesus Christ. And in that way, we recognize the truth and respond to it. It's somewhat like Paul saying in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So bearing fruit, doing good works, give evidence, give proof that we are his disciples. So if you want to know whether you're a Christian or not, maybe this verse will help you find the answer, or these verses. Do you love the light and hate the darkness? Or do you love the darkness and hate the light? If you're a Christian, if you have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, then you rejoice that you are one of His. You are no longer darkness. You are light in the Lord. It means your heart's been transformed. That inborn hatred of spiritual life or light is gone. The believer now loves the light and hates the darkness. John Piper is right when he says, saving faith in John's gospel is an act of a quickened or renewed heart that loves the light. The apostle who's writing the verses we studied today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit also wrote these words in 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 5, and then in verse 7 he follows with this, walk in the light as He is in the light. To dwell in the light is to dwell with God. To dwell in the darkness is to be separated from Him. So it's one or the other, isn't it? You can't mix light and darkness. When the light comes, it chases away the darkness. If you're not a Christian, you're in darkness. You need to be delivered from darkness. You need Jesus, who's the light of the world. And so will you not come into the light today? Remember, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And remember what the indictment against us is. Though light has come into the world, people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. John Phillips is right when he says that John 3:19 is a fine Christmas text. It was at Bethlehem that light invaded this darkened world. And at the birth of Christ, we see how people hated the light. What did Herod try to do? He tried to blow out the light. What did the people of Israel do? rejected Him and crucified Him. But to all who believe on the Son become children of God. So what's your response to the light? And I urge you, don't remain in the darkness. Don't be a hater of light. Come to Christ. Enter the realm of light. No longer attach yourself to the domain of darkness, but join the ranks of the children of light. Let me close with this moving appeal from J.C. Ryle. God has sent light into the world, and if a man will not come to the light, the fault is entirely on man's side. His blood will be on his own head if he makes shipwreck of his soul. The blame will be at his own door if he misses heaven. His eternal misery will be the result of his own choice. His destruction will be the work of his own hands. God loved him and was willing to save him. But he loved darkness. And therefore darkness must be his everlasting portion. He would not come to Christ. And therefore he will not have life. Father, we thank you for both the bright side and the dark side of this gospel message. We thank you that you loved us, sent your Son to save us. When he was lifted up on the cross, took our sins in his own body on that tree. And you were satisfied with what he accomplished. And all of those who believe on you find forgiveness of sins and receive this marvelous promise of eternal life. But woe unto those who do not believe. It reveals they are in a present state of condemnation, facing judgment. It declares to their own heart and to the world that they love darkness rather than light because their deeds of evil. And they refuse, they reject the light because they love sin so much. Oh God, grant that those who are among us who are in that state of depravity, polluted heart, wicked heart, that you might shine the light of the gospel in their souls this day. That you will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And bring them to the foot of the cross, casting themselves upon Jesus. And rising, filled with the Spirit, a child of God. What a marvelous, marvelous story this is. The gospel, it's good news. But there's bad news if the gospel is rejected. So work in our hearts. Do great mighty things, Lord, that would please you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.